This is better felt than told anytime. You cannot tell how good it feels. You know, the good part about the Holy Ghost, Sister Vilma, it's like when it's least expected to show up. Of course, we know he lives inside, but when we're least expecting him to show up, there he is. Isn't that great? He is wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Man, I feel good, don't you? Yes. The Ten Commandments of what? Marriage. What is marriage? One man and one woman. Out in Utah, the husband marries sometimes four or five sisters. Can you imagine what a miserable guy that guy ought to be? If you'll stand, we'll read you a few verses of Scripture, and I want to talk to husbands and wives this morning since we're having children's church. I wish every husband is here this morning and every wife. And some of you that are widows or widowers, you can just say amen, because I'm sure that you can relate to a whole lot of this. Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 25 through 28. Husbands, beat your wives hard. That's not what that says, is it? Okay, you're paying attention now, right? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. And what did he do? And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for filling your presence already. Thank you, God, for what you've already done. Now, God, if you just help us for a few minutes, Lord, to help others, Lord, and maybe encourage some that thinks they have always known, but maybe they could use some pointers this morning. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the Ravenna Church of God. I thank you, Lord, for those that are willing to say, I need prayer and I need help. And we thank you for meeting these needs in the name of Jesus. And everybody says, Ten rules of making your marriage a better marriage. A little humor is, Adam and Eve they had an ideal marriage. He didn't have to hear about all the men she could have married. And she didn't have to hear about all the good that his mother could cook. A son said to his dad, he said, Dad, I've heard in some parts of the world a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her. The dad replied, Son, that's true everywhere. And that's a little humor, but isn't it the truth? Did you know your husband or wife before you married him? You thought you did, but you don't know until you marry them, right? Ten commandments of marriage, or ten rules. One of the greatest moments in history, especially religious history, happened on Mount Sinai 3,500 years ago, approximately. On that mountain, a man named Moses met with God, and God wrote for him a summarized statement of rights and wrongs, which is based on the moral code for a more of a civilized world. We know of the writings as the Ten Commandments. Movies have been made about it. There's been plays and dramas and things have been written about the Ten Commandments. We also know that the Ten Commandments has been abused in our country. Take down the Ten Commandments, get them out of the schools, get them out of the courthouse, get them out of this and that and something else. But that's all right. They can take them out of the schools and out of the courthouses and different things, but I'm telling you, they can't take them out of our heart. And that's the important thing we need to understand. So I want to give you a different list of Ten Commandments or Ten Rules, the Ten Commandments of marriage. These rules, if followed, now notice this, if followed, it's like the Bible. If you follow the Bible, it's one of the most important books in the world. But if you don't follow it, it can be your worst enemy. So these rules, if followed, will go a long ways toward helping any couple, notice this, any couple, meaning a marriage, to be happy forever after. Importance of this subject. America has one of the highest marriage rates in the world. We believe in marriage. Say amen. Even 80% of those who divorce and marry again, this indicates that they still believe in marriage. You see, sometimes they jump right back into something worse than they had, but anyway, they believe in marriage. Those marriages are meant to last a lifetime. Until death do we part. They can deteriorate rather quickly, though, if we're not careful. Every marriage has problems. Say amen, men and women. Every marriage has problems. Y'all got a perfect marriage then, if you don't agree with that. Oh, you're afraid to say it in front of your husband or wife? That's okay. I understand. Every marriage is a journey of hills and valleys, highs and lows. Can you say amen to that? Although all marriages have problems, but not all marriages are in problems or troubles. So there are times when we agree or we disagree, and maybe we'll argue over some little issue that really don't amount to a whole lot, but when we think our partner acts kind of dumb. Or when we can't agree because something that is most important or more important to you rather than to her, it seems, or him. Maybe yours is a good marriage, but you know it's not as good as it could be. And if that's you, this message is for you. But if you've got a perfect marriage, you never have problems, you never have a disagreement, you're dismissed. You can go on home. I'm serious. When a Christian comes to marriage, we shouldn't allow the culture to shape our thinking, our attitudes, or our actions. A Christian marriage should be guided by a different set of expectations and principles and those laid down by God. Christian marriages is supposed to reflect on the relationship which exists between Christ and his bride, the church. At least part of the problem in our society has a false deception of love. Love is not just a sentimental feeling nor a simple action, but it's also an act of will, a determination to give love in a form that others can accept. So we're looking this morning at the Ten Commandments of marriage or the Ten Rules. And dividing this up equal because you're equal partners in marriage. Can anybody say amen? So five are for the ladies and or the wives, and five are for the men, which are the husbands. So I want to begin first with the ladies, of course. You see, many women over the years preachers have been whop, whop, beat, beat, stomp, stomp by pastors, but they fail to get to the part about the men in a lot of times. But just as gentlemen, trying to be a gentleman, I want to put the ladies first this morning. Ladies, don't get offended. Hold your peace or yell and scream all you want to, but we're going to get to the five of men that sometimes might look the most difficult. Number one is, give up on your jest for a perfect marriage. Marriage is the most difficult and complex of all human relationships, and it requires patience, skill, emotion, and most of all, spiritual growth. You can grow a good marriage if you're willing, but you have to work at it. Can you agree with that? I know sometimes, ladies, you get tired of wrestling with your husband's will. You think things would be better if you just send your husband packing. Pack a bag and kick him out. Your dream of a husband who is obedient, submissive, and cooperative, if that's what you want, then you don't need a man. Get you a dog. Maybe that's why that I see some of these women running around with a big old dog, almost big as they are, kissing them in the mouth. Slobber running down the sides of their jaw, like big bulldogs and so forth. So maybe they chose a dog over a husband. Now enough of that, I'm moving on. That's nasty. But God has other plans. The Bible says, iron shall sharpen iron, so one man sharpeneth another. That's Proverbs 27:17. But God puts us together for our perfection or perfecting. We refine each other. God puts us together not primarily for the physical reasons. That may be what draws you, but that's not all the purpose, but for the spiritual reasons. We will never be the people he intended us to be without developing patience, humility, and sacrificial love for the marriage that calls for it. Number two is, give up on all hoping to change your husband through criticism. If I fuss on him enough, he's going to change. If I blah, blah, blah this, he's going to change. Not so. The simple truth is, you can't make your husband more thoughtful by complaining. Such tactics usually have one of the two results with men. They will either retreat or they will become hostile. Can you say amen? Men, your time's coming. We can only change ourselves when we change. Others tend to change in reaction to us. Give up on making demands. Be what you want him to be. Try to make your husband do something. He is not a kid. Right? Number three is, give praise and acceptance. In the NIV it says in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their deeds, that it may benefit those who listen. Be your husband's biggest fan. Your husband has a deep need to be admired. He wants you to know that you value him. And if you respect what he does, if you're proud of him, husbands look for that. So if your friends only knew your husband by what you're saying about him, what would they think? When you're around other women friends, don't beat on your husband. Brag on him. Don't criticize him. Brag on him a little bit. It won't hurt you, and you won't have to tell a lie. Might get kind of slim at times, but it won't be a lie. You can think of something good. Say good things about him to others. It will pay dividends in your relationship. And number four, do the things that your husbands like to do. Oh man, this is a hard one, isn't it? Two people can accomplish twice as much as one. They get better returns for their labor. And this found in a New Living Bible and says in verse 10, if one person falls, the other person can reach and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. Guys want their wives to be their best friend. Are you a friend with your wife or husband? Oh, they're my wife. I don't have to be their friend. I don't have to really like them. But hey, they're my husband. I'm married to them. And well, like it or not, I got to put up. No. Listen to me. Your husband or wife should be your best friend. Other than Jesus, they should be your very best friend. They want you to hang out with them. They want their wives to share their interests. Enjoy time with your husband. Develop an intimacy that comes from having fun together. Husbands and wives can have fun. And you never get too old to have fun. So, hey, over the years, I can relate to this myself. My wife never did like to fish, but many times she'd go and sit on the riverbank with me because she knew I liked to fish. She didn't like to camp out, especially sleeping in a tent, but many times she did it because she knew I enjoyed it. She hung out with me and the kids. We had a wonderful time, but she couldn't get over all that filthy sand she'd carry back to the house. And their clothes and shoes and all of this. So I finally decided, hey, I know she's doing it because I want her to and because I enjoy her being there, but she's not happy. Mama's not happy. Nobody's not happy. So sometimes you have to realize that there's some things that women just don't like to do. So I haven't been fishing in years, haven't been camping out in many years, and I don't miss that camping out at all. Sleeping in a tent, wake up, rain dripping in your face. Sleeping on a blow-up mattress and wake up and find out your back's hurting because all the air went out of it. Hey, I'm telling you, I know a few of these things. But try to enjoy your husband. And one more, number five. Provide a peaceful place. Proverbs 17:1, a New King James Version says, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. If you don't have peace in the home, you don't have much of a home, in my opinion. So would you say that your home is stress reducing or stress producing? Which one would you say your home is, stress reducing or stress producing? I know this is sometimes difficult to create a peaceful place. Love the environment, especially in this society of two career families where husband and wives work or have to work in some cases. Most cases, a lot of cases anyway. In no way am I suggesting that the wife's sole responsibility is turn her house into a home. No, it is completely team work and effort. Can you agree with that, ladies? What about you men? Can you agree with that? Don't grab no songbook and throw it. I don't want you hitting me in the head. When I was in grade school, about the sixth grade, teacher went out to go down to, I don't know if she went to the restroom or down to see the principal or whatever. She'd come back. We were having a terrible time. I grabbed a big geography book. The boy hit me with one, and he ran across the room, and kids in here, are they? If you know better, kids. I threw that geography book across the room and happened to hit him right there in the small part of his head. And he wilted like a sunflower. I thought I'd killed him. Lord have mercy, he is dead. Well, I want to tell you something now. When the teacher come back in, paddling was very respectable at that time. She said, come up here. She didn't take me out in the hall. She brought me over up and bent me over her desk. And I want to tell you something now. When she got through, I didn't want to throw no more geography books. I had it coming. And I love her for it. I didn't love her right then, Lord. I thought she was going to kill me. Just remember the first few minutes inside the house sets the tone for the rest of the evening. When he's at the door and you welcome him home. Now, there's right here some good pointers, I think, that might help some of you. Don't meet him at the door with the news that Johnny has been bad. The sink is backed up. And oh, yeah, the bank called and we have overdrawn. What an unwanted welcome to a husband who's worked all day and come home to something like this. I'm telling you, it can wreck everything. At least give them time to settle down. Don't throw it all on them at one time. Just kind of ease it along. Will it make it easier? I think so. You know why? She's not going to meet throwing all these right in his face when he comes in, but she's going to meet him at the door, get a little sugar. Oh, y'all believe in getting a little sugar, don't you? Huh? You never get too old to get a little sugar. You know what I'm talking about? It's what Andy Griffin called it, get a little sugar. Kiss your wife. Hey, it don't hurt nothing. Care how long you've been married. Hey, it's good. That's good. Amen. I kind of like it. So we can get a lot done if we trust God and believe in God, right? All right, women, I'll give you about everything I can to help you. So now here's the five commandments of the husbands, or the five rules. First Peter 3:7 in the New King James Version says, husbands, likewise dwell with them with understanding, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, or God. Men, listen carefully. This may be the most important message that you've heard all year. No, you're not going to be shouting, probably. But this is a very important message. So if you want bonus points with your wife today, at least pretend you're listening. But I hope you're listening. Extra points go to any man actually writing down some notes. I don't see very many writing notes. Mary is. She don't even have a man. I see a few more writing a few notes down. It's important, folks. The top priority to your marriage relationship is something that is very important. Husbands, go all out for your wives. Do what you can for your wives. Don't take your marriage or your mate for granted. Number one, do not ignore or take for granted your companion. If you do, you're in trouble. Help do the chores around the house is a good way to show her love. Thank you. Some men actually seem to believe that God created Adam and noticed all the clothes lying around all in the garden and created Eve to go and pick them all up. One woman said that her husband's idea of helping out was to lift his feet while she was running the vacuum. I did that the other day, I have to admit. So guys, we need to put a relationship with our spouse back at the top priority. Guys, do you think that your wife would say that she is on your priority list? Does she have to be complete with your work, with your hobbies? Or does she have to compete, does she have to compete with all of these? I don't think your wife has to compete with these. It's all right to have hobbies. And number two is dare to talk and reassure. Proverbs 16 and 24 in the New King James Version says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweeter to the soul and health to the bones. So have you ever witnessed two guys trying to express action for one another? Men are so different to women. One might come in and say, hey, ugly, talking to another man and one of his buddies. How's it going? Oh, hey, I thought I smelt something. Don't ever think of trying this on your wife. Guys, you need to work at your vocabulary sometimes. Because I'm telling you, if you try something on this, on your wife like this, you may be the one that need a bath, maybe a blood bath. I heard a story about a guy that, and you may think, well, he's a henpecked guy, but listen to what I heard about this. He said, this one guy whose cell phone died and he was stuck in a gridlock traffic. He had his laptop with him, so he typed out a message, printed it on his portable printer, and taped it to the inside of his windows, asking other drivers to call his wife's number and let her know where he was. When he got home, his wife gave him the longest kiss and said, I really think you love me. At least 70 people called and told me so. Now, I don't ask you to do something that drastic, but he was determined to let his wife know where he was. Sometimes wives don't even know where their husbands are. Well, I'll tell you what, my wife's got a remedy for me. Not only does she have a cell phone, but we have cameras there to the house, and she turns them cameras on them outside to see what I'm doing or where I'm at. And that's okay, I don't mind. But if I just knew the time that she was watching me, I'd wave at her. Hey, baby. Next time she'll have to let me know, won't she? So guys, try praising your wife once in a while. Even if it scares her at first. Listen, without feeling the need to solve the problem, here's something I want you to listen to, men. This kind of touched this old boy right here. A common complaint from women is that their husbands don't listen to them and understand them. The men, on the other hand, are bewildered and say, I do listen to you or to her. What's happened typically is that the woman wants to talk about the problem and share how she feels about it. But notice about the man. Men are so different. The man wants to get at the problem and solve it. Why talk about it? Let's get on. Let's get it done. But what's happened typically is, hey, it's not the way it should be done, folks. The conversation may go something like that. The woman might say, I had a terrible day at work. The man says, well, why don't you quit? And she says, I didn't say I wanted to quit. I just said I'm trying to tell you that I had a hard day. He says, if you don't want my opinion, then why did you ask? She says, just forget I said anything. He says, I will. Now, how many of you husbands and wives, the conversation that I just read to you relates to you? My wife and I have had that same conversation. I remember it well. When she says, just forget it, I know I'm in trouble. She never forgets it. For the next week, they try to listen. For the whole next week, just try it a week at a time. Next week, try to listen to your wife. Let her know that you understand how she feels. And don't try to fix the situation unless she asks you to. If she asks you to, that's different. And then, men, avoid criticism. Proverbs 13:3 says, in the NIV version, says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruins. A man who constantly criticizes or puts down his wife will produce a numerous results, but not only that, they're all negative. Don't criticize your wife. How many times do you see men and women talking? Husband, he criticizing his wife. Don't you know that woman? I don't know why she did blah, 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 and on and so on. And then the woman say, you know what? If I'd have known his feet stunk like that, I'd have never married that rascal. Just old stupid stuff. Don't amount to anything. Don't criticize your wife. If you can't say something good about her, just zip a lip. It's safer that way. So don't criticize. So let the criticism in marriage not work. Hey, it's more satisfactory to the marriage, and you should say 5 positive things for every negative thing you say. Number 5, remember the importance of little things. Here's the one that's hung me a few times, the little things. The big things I remember. The little things gets me in trouble. Men are usually less sentimental than women and act less significant to such things as birthdays, anniversaries, and special days, and are apt to overlook the little gestures that mean so much to the woman. Love is not just a feeling. It involves positive action, which can mean a lot to a woman. Folks, it is the little things that really make the difference. So a husband that forgets his wedding anniversary or his wife's birthday has committed an almost unforgivable sin. Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Christmas all call for special recognition. So we need to be careful, men. For some of you, to begin to do this will cause shockwaves maybe to your wife. But you should do it anyway. If you are like me, you're forgetful a lot of times, get you a big calendar. Put it where you can see it every single day. Make it a point to visit that Mr. Calendar because it could keep you out of trouble. Well, I have a calendar and I still get in trouble sometimes. So some of the sweetest thing that God has ever done for me has been the little title, the unexpected things that he does for us. When you surprise your wife with some kind of little token of affection, this assures her that you love her more and you can be a better husband. My wife and I used to work different hours. I'd leave her little love notes. Somewhere down the line, I quit writing them love notes, but for a long time, I'd write her a little love note. say little things, flirty things or whatever. I thought this flirty. I don't know what she thought. She probably thought, oh, he's crazy. But do little things. Little gestures go a long ways. Can anybody say amen? I'm about finished. So, men, here you have it. What are you going to do about it? For 1 week, could you go by this? 1 week, could you try it? Try doing something and let her know how important she is. Come in sometime and, hey, here she is. She's getting ready to do the dishes. Say, sweetheart, I'm going to do the dishes tonight. You go in and put your feet up. Listen real close, Jim. This will keep you out of the doghouse. Just kidding, Jim. But try it. Do little things. Shock your wife by it. Say, I think I'll run a sweeper for you. Is that all right? And then she said, that'd be great. Try little things. Folks, it's a two-way street. I love it. I love it to have a good friend. My best friend is my wife. Success. Come on, the music you would. Success in marriage does not apply on finding the right person as much as it does of being the right person. Focus on the person that you can change. And it's not your wife or not your husband. It's yourself. Sometimes you got to draw in your horns. I tell you what. Some of these old men and their fables, they have got a lot of young men in marriage in trouble, and I know what I'm talking about. Now let me have a talk with you, son. You're getting ready to get married, and when you get married, you let her know who wears, instead of saying pants, you let them know who wears the breeches. Well, I thought, well, they ought to know what they're talking about. They've been married a long time, but they were lying. They were trying to get everybody in trouble and laugh about it to see them in trouble. You the boss, you tell her what to do, when to do, and hey, she better listen to you. You're the head of the house. You're the boss. If you go into marriage like that, you won't be a boss long because you won't have a wife. She's not going to put up with it. And then you wonder what in the world happened. Be good to your wife and husband if you have one. And if you've lost your best friend and your husband or wife, I sympathize with you. Because I want to tell you something, folks. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and it's a blessing from God. It's not what we think it should be. It's not a bed of roses. Everything's not a bed of roses like we thought it would be in the beginning. It's all nice and pleasant and all this. But I want to tell you something now, folks. There's times your wife wakes up of a morning and she feels bad. She is not in the mood to hear your mouth. And vice versa. Be good to your husband. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, be submissive to your own husband. Hear what I said, your own husband, not somebody else's. Don't run your companion down, but love them. Lift them up. Life is short. Focus on the person that you can change, as said, and it's you. You can change yourself. You can't change your wife, but you can change yourself. Let's stand this morning, if you would, please. If you agree with some of these things that maybe would improve your marriage, you say, but I have a perfect marriage. I hope and pray you do, because mine is still under construction. Mine is still being worked on every single day of my life. So if you need help this morning, or if you feel like that you can improve for your companion, husband or wife, why don't you take a trip down to the altar this morning?